The scripture reading for this morning comes from the book of 2 Corinthians. It's the final and closing verses of 2 Corinthians. I would usually tell you the numbers, but they are different depending on your version. So we're going to start with verse 11 and just run until there are no more words. How's that? However many verses that may be. In my case, it's just three verses. Finally, brothers and sisters, this is 2 Corinthians 13. It is there, 2 Corinthians 13, beginning with verse 11. Finally, brothers and sisters, goodbye. Put things in order. Respond to my encouragement. Be in harmony with each other and live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Say hello to each other with a holy kiss. All of God's people say hello to you. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. The church at Corinth was Paul's problem child. They were a divided and defiant congregation. The epistle of 2 Corinthians is a response to the church's attack on Paul's leadership. The congregation didn't take particular issue with what he had said. They just felt he had no authority to say it. Basically, they were telling Paul, "You ain't the boss of us." Paul seems to have deflected those attacks by responding, "Well, it ain't about me." After all the advice and his teaching, Paul concludes this letter by stepping back and suggesting that it was God who provides all the healing and all of the benefits for God's people. The Corinthians were a job for God, and Paul was calling on God to do what only God could do to fix them. But his call was a sincere longing for the good of the congregation, a desire for them to become all they could be, for them to reach their divinely appointed purpose together. To paraphrase the closing words of Paul's second letter here in these verses of 2 Corinthians, he says basically, "Straighten up, do what I say, and stop your fussing. Then you will have encountered the presence of a God of love and peace among you." That's what Paul wanted for them, to know the fullness of the character of God and to reflect it together in their lives as community. To begin with, Paul says, greet each other with a holy kiss. Now, the Sunday school discussion this morning, they didn't think this would go over too well. The last time we looked at this passage from 2 Corinthians, this text was before us in the early months of the COVID quarantine. At that time, the call to greet one another with a kiss struck very strangely. We weren't even meeting in person, much less kissing each other. In those days and in that time, we were reminded that what Paul was suggesting was a greeting that was a sincere, tangible expression of high regard for the other person. Well, some of us are worshiping in person now, maybe even shaking hands again, but there's still not much kissing going on as we greet one another on Sunday mornings. But the question is, do our greetings, however we greet one another, offer a sincere, tangible expression of high regard for the other person? I think Paul would say that that is the beginning of knowing and making known the full character of God, who is primarily relational in being. After Paul tells the Corinthians how to say hello, he models how to say goodbye. His final words are a benediction, a blessing. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Blessing somebody as you conclude a visit might sound as awkward as greeting them with a kiss. Oh, we're comfortable enough saying bless you when somebody sneezes, but would we even think of blessing someone without the sneeze? What is a blessing? What does it mean to bless someone? Can anybody do it, or is that somehow a pastoral function? Here's a question that might bring the concept of blessing into focus more clearly. Have you ever been blessed by anybody? That sets blessing in a less intimidating context, doesn't it? Sure, we've been blessed countless times. People have shown us kindness or offered us a needed assistance. And when that happens, we feel an emotional impact of what they have done. And it feels good, healing, and empowering. There's a feeling that sticks with you. It changes your outlook at the time that it happens, and it continues to warm our spirits whenever we recall that experience. It may even have the power to make a lasting change in our lives. We say, they blessed us. In his book, Blessing, the Art and Practice, David Spengler tells us, but here we may be confusing a blessing with a kindness. A kindness gives us something, but a blessing urges us to be something, which for most of us means changing in some way. A blessing lets loose a spiritual presence that can promote and foster change, a power of rearrangement in our domain. It's as if we've opened a door to our house and a specialist, an interior redecoration, has moved in with us. Spengler says that's a scary thought. But that is Paul's prayer for the Corinthians, a blessing for those who cursed him. He is praying that they know more fully the character of God, love, grace, and fellowship, and that it will transform how they function in community with one another. His desire is that they will be awakened to the very presence of God with them, and he is commending them into the full care and transforming power of that ever-present God. He is urging them to be something, to be changed. Paul is saying he not only believes in them, he not only believes in God, he believes God believes in them and wants something better for them. He is offering his blessing and asking God to bless them. I'm not sure which came first, losing the art of blessing one another or the indifference and division and even hostility that isolates us from each other, from our own best selves, and from our potential as a community. Whichever happened first, there is no doubt that we need to recover the art and practice of blessing one another. Remember now that this is not the same as a random act of kindness. A blessing is intentional, and it empowers the one to whom it is offered to be something, to change for the better. A blessing is much more than just an act. It is an affirmation of our interconnectedness. It is a creation of an opportunity for the power of that connectedness to pour through into our lives and into the lives of others. Can we do that? It might help to know that Spengler suggests that offering a blessing is not about a technique, but a presence that we embody. The only things, he says, we really need are a loving heart, a compassionate mind, and an open spirit. I know, that's the only things, he says, we need, but it's the hardest things. But hey, that's the goal of following Christ as his disciple in the first place. And yes, maybe that is the intended result of following Christ. Not only that we be blessed, but that we be a blessing to others. We are all innately worthy and capable of blessing others. Blessing is not a special power reserved only for a few. A blessing can look like anything. It can take any shape or none at all. It can be as simple as a glance, a choice of thoughts, a way of listening, tone of voice. It can be a laying on of hands, an embrace. It can be a ritual. It can be something we say, a special mantra, or just an everyday conversation. It can be an object we give, or time and energy we offer. It can be obvious, or it can be subtle. Someone, Cindy, your mom actually, who worships with us occasionally, virtually, recently mentioned how much she appreciates the blessing I offer each week at the conclusion of the benediction. Be well. It's simple enough. When you break it down, it says that I believe in you and that I want wholeness of all things to be well for you. It says I believe in God and I believe God believes in you and desires the same thing for you. Be well is my way of saying bless you. When my wife texts me that she's on her way home from work and I respond, come safely, it means that I believe in God and I'm asking God's watch care over her. It's a prayer and it means bless you. When I offer words of affirmation to someone who's in need of encouragement, it is my believing in them and empowering them to be more and do more to reach their divine potential. I'm simply saying, bless you. The good news is that our blessings don't depend on us. They don't have to be perfect or even powerful on any scale. The Spirit transcends all techniques and simply flows wherever there is love, wherever there is a willingness to act on behalf of another, so that person's life is eased and made more graceful, and their way made more clear and more joyous before them. You see, when we offer someone a blessing, we are calling attention to the very presence of God that is with them, and we are commending them to all the fullness and power of that God. We are opening ourselves to offer them inclusion and compassion. We are building community by the connection that the blessing establishes between God, them, and ourselves. We are making God known, and the very nature of God is that communion, a communion in which we are all invited and received. So let's go forth, knowing we are blessed by our God and knowing we are to be a blessing to one another. We have the power and the opportunity to know joy and to offer joy just by saying bless you in our own uniquely powerful ways. Amen.